The reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Jean said it might be a good idea for me to say a few words about who I am and family and all that sort of stuff. I'm Brian Mearden, and my wife Sue, and I have been here since the autumn. Before that, we were involved in another church in Salisbury, and when we first retired, I was licensed to a Bemerton parish for 3 years. Back before then, we moved down from Berkshire, and where I was vicar, and I stayed in one parish for 27 years, which is a very long time. But some will think, how on earth do you manage that? The answer is that everything around us changed. Our parish was 1,000 membership population when we moved there. When we left, it was 12,000, 15,000, it was just growing like this. So every year was different. As I said, I'm married to Sue, and I are science trained or by background. Before I was ordained, I was a research physicist working for the government and for the Institut Louis Langevin in Grenoble. Sue trained as a physics teacher. So we are well set with each other. So if there are any other physicists around, do have a talk to us at the end. Yeah, let me pray for us as we begin. Father, I ask now that you will take my words and speak through them, that you will take our minds and think through them, and that you will take our hearts and set them on fire with a love for Jesus. For his name's sake, amen. Well, today in our series of Body, Soul, and Spirit, Jean has down as the title, Cultivating a Grateful Heart. And gratitude is an important virtue for us as followers of Jesus. Through it, we express in thanksgiving every aspect of our existence is a gift of God. And that leads us into worship. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that we give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, in 1 Thessalonians 5. Thanksgiving and gratitude are God's will for us. And I suppose it's much more than just casually just saying thanks or cheers or whatever you say when someone does something. Particularly because many people say thanks to you as you go through life, and it's almost like they've not noticed that they've said it. But what we're talking about here is a heart thing, something that is deep within us. And that gratitude comes deep within us because it's God's will for us. Paul often writes about this heart thing. of giving thanks. As you heard in the from Philippians, but first chapter of that, he talks about in the way in which they are. He is full of thanksgiving, thanking God for them and what they do. And he's also encouraging them. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God then, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But it can be hard. Could I have the next slide? Thank you. But cultivating a grateful heart can be really hard. It's especially hard for people who are living through dark times, whether that's obvious to those outside or known just to them deep within. Dark times of sickness, isolation for some. Some live and carry abuse in their backgrounds. Others have broken relationships. Others, financial crises, etc., etc. When we held healing and renewal services, people would come forward, and some people we'd known for many, many years, and suddenly things would come out. People live with these things. And so it's hard then, perhaps, to hear the words about let's have a grateful heart. But thankfully, as you read the rest of Philippians, you can see how Paul wasn't living on the top of the mountain. He was living in a dark place as he wrote that book. In chapter 1, he's in chains. In chapter 2, Epaphroditus, his close companion, has been sick and nearly died. In chapter 3, he faces opposition. Chapter 4, two ladies who have been close fellow workers with him had dramatically fallen out. And in chapter 4, other churches had ceased sharing with him. Yet this man, somehow or another, with all of that going on around him, and other epistles show other things that happened to him, shipwrecks and everything else, this man somehow, in the midst of all that, was somehow empowered by the Holy Spirit to have a thankful and a grateful heart. And you may say, well, that was the best part of 2,000 years ago, so it's different today. So let me tell you about Maureen. I hadn't long been a curate, and when one evening we had a ring on our doorbell, and Maureen was standing there. Didn't know her, had never seen her before. And she's the only person over all the years who's ever opened a conversation by just saying, I want to be a Christian. Well, she came in and we started chatting. And she spoke of the life she'd had. It was a really hard life. She had marriage and financial issues, and her children were always getting sick. And she spoke of her life, and she was in a really desperate place. That evening in Reading, she wasn't really a candidate for a grateful heart. And she and I looked through together a Campus Crusade booklet. And at the end of it, she said she would pray to give her life over to Jesus. And she did. And it'd be wonderful to say there was a great big bright light in the room and all her woes had gone and everything was fine. And it wasn't. Her situation did not change one little bit. She still went back to her kids being sick, financial issues and everything else. But, as time went on and she was became a member of the church, she developed an inner peace, knowing somehow or another that Christ was with her through all these difficult times. And I look back at that and I think, That, folks, can only be the work of the Holy Spirit within her. Anyway, Sue and I moved away to another parish, and it was a vast number of years later, I was up in the cathedral in Oxford and at Christ Church, and Maureen was there also. And she was totally changed. So thankful to the Lord for rescuing her all those years before and walking with her over them. You see, she, like dear old St. Paul, had found a grateful heart. But thankfulness can seem so hard if any of you today are in the Maureen position. But if that is you today, do before you go ask somebody to pray for you. Because I believe the Lord can help you on the journey of cultivating a grateful heart, which of course will enable you to grow in closeness to Him. So, how do we go about cultivating this grateful heart? Could I have the next one? Thank you. Well, this is really a catalyst sort of talk, because all of us express gratitude to God and to others around us in different ways. And my prayer coming up to today has been that the Holy Spirit takes what is said and inspires us each in ways that fit how we are wired up to cultivate grateful hearts. But it does require of us something, which is to think, to thank God. Life can pass so quickly, and we never pause to stop to think, to thank. And that's not following dead habits, but adopting almost like a lifestyle of thankfulness, however we express it. A thankfulness that both pleases God, feeds us, and helps others be grateful too. So to help in that process, I'd like us to be looking back, both biblically and personally, looking out to creation and people around us, and looking up to God. And may the Spirit of Jesus work in us to cultivate grateful hearts. Could I have the next slide, please? So, looking back, as we look back across the biblical story, and also through our own personal story. Through the Bible, we see that God is calling us to do that looking back, not to live in the past, but to praise Him for what He has done so that we can go forward trusting Him for the future. Following their deliverance from Egypt, the Lord gave to His people of old the Feast of Passover, a lasting annual remembrance. Then on many years, Jesus holds that Passover supper, which we call communion. Paul wrote about it a bit later in this way. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Here at St. Francis, we celebrate that with thanksgiving. And one of our delights is to see children coming up at the same time. It is just so, so wonderful. Looking back over our Christian story, that enables us to cultivate a heart of gratitude. And you read about it in the book from Genesis to Revelation. But looking back also helps us when we look back over our own lives. And some of us here this morning have a few more years to look back over than others, actually. Once, when I was facing a major difficulty, a bit of a crisis, my spiritual director suggested that what I needed to do was to put on hold the issues that I was facing at that time. And he said to look back over your life with thankfulness, to spend time just thinking back over your life and thanking God for this and that, thanking the Lord for your birth. Well, I couldn't actually remember that. But thanking God for my parents, for childhood and so forth. Thanking the Lord, in my case, for my dad moving us from up country down to Cornwall. Because up country I was in a school which was phenomenally violent, where actually from 11 to 15 I lived in perpetual fear, terrified every day. And in this little school in Cornwall, the physics master, Joe Geale, Alf Hooper, the maths master, and Mr. Sprayson, who was both the head teacher and the chemistry teacher, they took me under their wing. And this kid who had arrived at age 15, who didn't even know what the word physics meant, they poured their lives into me and helped me in every way. And they enabled me eventually to have a science, to have a career as a research physicist. And I thank the Lord also for a university bonfire night dance, where in those days you asked ladies to dance with you, you know, it's the way it happened. And all these ladies who I asked to dance with me, although I was tall, dark, and handsome, and do you know, none of them would dance with me. And then I saw a fellow science student, I'd never spoken to her before, and I asked her to dance, and she did. And 60 years ago, this November, that's when we met. And we celebrate that, those 60 years this November. I also thank the Lord for Reverend Jeff Kreis, who introduced me to a fellow physicist, John Matthews. And the two of them helped me to commit my life to Jesus. I'll not bore you with the other 70 years. But looking back, though, inspired by the Holy Spirit, on how God's moved through human history and also moved through our own pasts, can help us to cultivate grateful hearts. As the Lord was with his people in the past, and as we look back, we see that he was with us in our pasts, so he will be with us in the future. Our Lord is a faithful God. But folks, we do need to think to thank the Lord as we look back. Could I have the next slide, please? Thank you. But as well as looking back, we look out. And we look out in a couple of ways, creation and people. Jesus teaching on his disciples on trust in Matthew 6 says to look at the birds of the air, flowers of the field, for these show the faithfulness of God. And the beauty and the wonder of creation can actually stir our hearts. Look at incredible landscapes you see when you go on a holiday. They stir your heart and make your heart grateful. Thank you, Lord, for the just sheer beauty of what I'm looking at. But there's people. Like Paul's thankfulness often centers on the people the Lord places around him in the present. People like Timothy and Titus and the rest of them. And we too can be grateful to the Lord for people he places in our lives. This is the first talk I'm giving since I was healed of being partially sighted. But back when I was partially sighted, I was so grateful to the Lord for those he put across my path, to help me cross the road, for instance, to get the right bus. I couldn't read the bus numbers. And also, when I went shopping on my own, to find things in Sainsbury's. And I would say to each person who helped me, thank you for helping me. May God bless you. And it wasn't just a cheers, but it was a deep felt thing, because I'd nearly been run over a few times, and I knew what it was like. That person had helped me so deeply. May God bless you. We all have those the Lord puts across our paths. And some of you may think, well, I'm not sure that there's anyone across my path at the moment, but just have a look around you. Because all these people around you are your brothers and sisters in Jesus. And God has put them there. And it's called church, or the body of Christ. When we thank people, we spread a culture of gratitude. They can be blessed by us thanking them. And actually, therefore, they may be grateful that they are valued. But we need to thank the Lord as we look out. Could I have next slide, please? Thanks. And then there is looking up. As disciples of Jesus, gratitude and thankfulness are directed upwards to God. It's looking up. And we will all express grateful hearts towards the Lord in different ways. Some people express grateful hearts through drawing or painting that may, if they show it to others, bless them. Some will actually pray beautiful prayers that, if they pray them aloud, inspire the rest of us. Some people will express grateful hearts by praying in tongues, especially those like me who aren't very good with language. And some will express it in singing songs or even composing songs just on their own or with one or two people. Others will find that they can express grateful hearts by just sitting in silence before the Lord. We're all different. However, Christians across all cultures express corporate grateful hearts through worship, and particularly in song. Looking up, inspired by the Holy Spirit, can help us cultivate a grateful heart. But we need to think to thank the Lord. In closing, let me share a personal inspiration along the lines of Psalm 8. Our vicarage in Berkshire was next to the parish church, and we were in a conservation area on the north side of Bracknell, and it was the one place around that area where you could actually look up and see the night sky very well. And after many a tiring Sunday, especially once a month when the last service started at 8:30, I would walk the few yards back along the lane, and I would look up and see the stars, and I'd be amazed at the vastness. You know, you'd look up and you'd see these stars, and I would feel so small. I'd feel so insignificant. Some of the light that I was looking at had taken 4,000 years to arrive at me. It's vast. And then, so many times, I'd realized that this amazing God, who holds this whole cosmos in being, looks down at Brian Mearden in Church Lane, Warfield, on a Sunday evening, and loves him. And he would love me so much that he would send his son to die for me, and he would then plant in my heart the hope of eternal life. And folks, after all these years, that still continues to fill my heart with gratitude. So let's pause for a moment while I pray for us, and then we will have a song, which I trust will be a song which inspires you to express a little bit that grateful heart. But let me pray for us first. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to live and to die and to rise for us and to give us the hope of life eternal. I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you will touch each one of us and inspire in us grateful hearts. Holy Spirit, move in us to cultivate those grateful hearts. Touch our lives, I pray. Amen.